Images from the Middle East are in the news every day. Now, a documentary about Ariel Sharon is showing in U.S. theaters. The film was made 6 years ago, before Sharon was Prime Minister of Israel. David Darcy reports the documentary has managed to confound people on both sides of the Middle East debate.
It's become a staple of independent filmmaking to make a film about making a film about someone who doesn't want a film made about him, all in the name of revealing a shocking truth and getting laughs on the way. That's what Avi Mograbi hoped to do in his documentary, How I Learned to Overcome My Fear and Love Arik Sharon.
I went to make a harsh political leftist film about a notorious right-wing politician. It was almost a personal vendetta, if you want to call it that. And I was looking to get as close as possible to Mr. Sharon and film him when the monster that lives inside his body peeps out.
Much of the film takes place from a distance. Mograbi stands with his microphone and headphones as Sharon meets with politicians and religious leaders or addresses huge crowds. But this film is not Roger and Me. Avi Mograbi meets Sharon time and again, mostly as Sharon wades through crowds shaking hands. Sharon the monster, and for his adversaries on the Israeli left, the war criminal never emerges. Instead, Mograbi ends up filming a friendly grandfather who raises lambs and wins over the man in the street with endless jokes about his own weight. Mograbi, the documentary filmmaker, shifts into a fictional character of a filmmaker who's charmed by Sharon and becomes a Sharon supporter.
What I fictionalized about myself has actually become a documentary of the state of Israel last year, when a huge majority of Israelis has voted Mr. Sharon, forgetting who he was, forgetting Sabra and Shatila, forgetting the Lebanon War, forgetting that his life's work is the settlements in the occupied territories.
The Sharon documentary was shot in 1996 and premiered on Israeli television in 1997. It ran again last year when Sharon became prime minister. Mograbi's allies on the Israeli left called him a traitor.
I was definitely criticized by a lot of my good leftist friends who couldn't see the irony in the film and felt that I was, how shall I say, harming the cause by letting Sharon seem sympathetic. It was very hard for them to accept that I could show him so sympathetically as a person, although I of course, opposed to him ideologically. And this is what the film is about.
Palestinians were appalled.
People think that if you can see the sympathetic side of a person, you immediately identify with his politics. And this is my character's problem in the film, that he loses his own politics when he sympathizes with Sharon's persona. Of course, the film is about that, about being able to differentiate between how a person persona is and what his ideals are.
There is humor in Mograbi's character's dilemma, says Irene Anastas, a Palestinian artist who saw the film in New York.
I'm Palestinian and I know the history, but I laughed often in the film because of the irony of the things. You know, I have distance to the images and I didn't actually fall in the charisma because I knew the politics behind all that.
The film's central dilemma goes beyond the Middle East, says Rene Gabri, a filmmaker himself who was born in Iran.
I think it's very easy to simplify the issue and sort of say Sharon is a war criminal and the Israelis have gone crazy because they support Sharon. I think a video like this points a very interesting question back to every audience, not just Israelis, but you think about your own relationship to this cult of personality in terms of politics. And I think more people than just Israelis are implicated in this kind of negligence or ignorance or willful ignorance in the case of his character that he plays. And sort of he knows what Sharon is and has done, his history, and yet he decides to kind of forget all that or ignore it.
The cult of personality is in Avi Mograbi's blood. He comes from one of the few movie families in Israel. His grandfather owned the first talking movie palace in Tel Aviv, where he says he caught the malady. As a student, Mograbi got involved in politics and went to prison while he was in the army rather than serve under Ariel Sharon in Lebanon in the early 1980s. Mograbi never tells Sharon this when the camera's rolling.
My films originate in my interest in politics. They're not abstract. They're not imaginary. I mean, they deal with whatever troubles me in the place I live in. So having people try to understand from them more about the problems of the Middle East is very natural, and I'm happy about it. I would not feel comfortable if people would avoid the political subjects and only talk about the film language.
Mograbi's last feature documentary, August, showed at the Human Rights Watch International Film Festival in New York. Among other things, it observes everyday street arguments and records people who try to stop Mograbi from filming. Thousands have died since Mograbi finished his most recent films, and he's now facing criticism that his work's been overtaken by events, that it's offensive, or that it's just trivial, given the recent violence.
After I ended shooting the documentary stuff, and I was considering what to do with the fictional part of it, the Intifada started, and suddenly I found myself in a situation where the whole world was burning, and I felt a little bit stupid. And it took me time to understand how the film is actually portraying something quite deep about the climate of our life in Israel, in the Middle East.
Avi Mograbi's film, How I Learned to Overcome My Fear and Love Arik Sharon, has a U.S. distributor and is available on video. So is another earlier film, Happy Birthday, Mr. Mograbi, shot on the 50th anniversary of the founding of Israel. For NPR News, I'm David Darcy in New York.